Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to Uncharted Living. We are your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are business owners, corporate leaders, and life coaches. Join us each week for authentic, thought-provoking, and entertaining conversations. We'll discuss a variety of topics, from personal wellness and professional growth to creativity and spirituality, all designed to help you create your own map for your life. We are excited to partner with you on your uncharted journey. Uncharted living, it's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map and live uncharted.
Welcome back, everyone. Joining us today here at Uncharted Living is our guest, Samantha Garcia, who recently released her, and in my opinion, game-changing book, Regenerative Business, which is already an Amazon bestseller. This book has changed how I look at business and life. I read Sam's first two chapters through an Instagram promotion that she did, and I could not wait to get my hands on the rest of the book, which I now have here. Sam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And all the kind words, I take them. Love them.
Good. There's more. Yes. But just to kick us off, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about what parts of your story would you like to share with our listeners that led you to write the book Regenerative Business?
Yeah, so I, like all of us, haven't had a straight path in terms of my education, in terms of my career. And I actually went to school for physics, and I have a bachelor's in science and physics, and immediately went into freelance marketing right out of college. So it was this stark change. Like, anyone else go into a college major because they had a favorite teacher in high school? Is that just me?
A great teacher in high school.
And it was like this, and like there's, when you start getting to like upper level physics, it's like very philosophical when you start like looking at different ways of looking at the world. But I had this environmental awakening halfway through college where I was in the college dorms, and there was this group of students who had just brought bags of freshly picked apples. They went to like this apple orchard, picked it, and brought it to the cafeteria to make applesauce to be in the cafeteria. And just something like magnetized me towards them and started talking about like all the food systems and the food waste and all the issues environmentally connected with food. And it was just this like light bulb moment. I just happened to be there studying after hours in a cafeteria on the dorm campus. And I had no interest in environmentalism before then, like zero. And it was just this like overnight, just like, what is happening? And got incredibly passionate about environmental work. And when I finished my degree in physics, as a promise to my dad, who is now dead, and I was like, I really wanted to complete that promise. And then just went into freelance marketing because I was like, this is a skill I want to have. I want to own a business someday. Both of my parents had like either been self-employed or like on and off freelancing. So like, it felt like it didn't seem weird, not do a 9-to-5 job. And I just started pitching companies that I wanted to work with. And like, I felt connected to their mission to do just like marketing or marketing admin stuff for them. And that's how I developed a now marketing agency over 10 years, been like 10 years now, or over 10 years, who knows. but over the last few years for me, I've really struggled with how do I bring in my passion for the environment into my marketing stuff? Because, I'm sure a lot of us have this struggle of like, we have a career, we have a business that we do really well in. It's making us good money. It's, we get our clients great results. It's easy. And there's something over here that's kind of like whispering to us, right? Of like, there's something more that needs to be looked at. And I had been struggling for the last few years being like, there's something different here that, and I, on the other side of this, my husband is a regenerative agriculture designer. We have been together for 9 years now. And so like I live on an off-grid farm on Maui, and so much of my life is this regenerative practice of working with the land and being close to nature. I'm like, I have earbuds on right now, even though I have a podcast mic, because it's like literally the birds and the trees are right here. Like I need to like block out those sounds. And
what is regenerative farming, Sam? Just for our listeners, and honestly for me too.
Yeah. So regenerative, when I was taking environmental classes in college, the big buzzword was sustainability. That's if something was sustainable, it was good. If a business is doing sustainable work, then it's good. And we are, if we think about the word sustain, it's like, we're just trying to maintain how things currently are. And when we look at the science of climate change and extinction and everything going on in the world and like our depleted bodies, like, we can't, if we sustain this, we're all going to die or burn out or like destroy the planet. So regenerative is going beyond sustainability and actually thinking about how do we make things better? So with regenerative farming, it's instead of looking at a piece of land and with organic farming, we're using non-toxic things, we're composting, all of that, but that doesn't mean that we're leaving a plot of land better than it was. It's still fairly extractive, where with regenerative, like we're regenerating the land, realizing that we're at, some scientists say we're at 1% of the topsoil we had hundreds of years ago, which is the important little sliver of soil that we grow all of our food in. So we all farmers, all humans, because we all eat food, we need to be thinking about how can we actually improve the land so that it can sustain, we can even live on this planet for years to come, for decades to come. And I know, I don't know the age range of your listeners, but like this is very front of mind for Gen Zers. It's less so for millennials and Gen Xs and boomers, like because we're not even close to the future that Gen Zers can have. And I know we're like supposed to be talking about business, but like here we are.
We're here for it all. This is totally up our alley to just go with what is present for sure. I mean, I think what I'm hearing you say and what I read in your book is that you're really trying to bridge the gap for people and connect the dots around regenerative practices and what nature is teaching us and has just does naturally, and how we can apply those things in our businesses in a way that fuels things that's not I love that word you used, like depleting. So many people are burnt out. We see it with our clients. It's like this thing that we're not, it's like the elephant in the room that no one's talking about. And what you've done is you're just like, boop, here it is. Like I see the two fields so separate sometimes, of like regenerative farming is like over here and then business is something and they're in these silos and they don't intermingle as much. And you've just done that so beautifully.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, a huge part of this is with regenerative farming, we are thinking about how nature would design a food growing system. So instead of a garden that's in your yard that is very dependent on you, if you leave it during the summertime, it's going to die if you don't water it. Yeah. And versus a forest that is nature's designed, the nature designed food growing system, it's like it's thriving. You're not needed. So when I'm talking about regenerative business and what we go through in the book, it's thinking about how would nature actually design a business versus a human design system, which is, because of the Industrial Revolution, it's looking at business like a machine. And we're just cogs in that machine. And of course we're depleted because it's all about efficiency and it's all about that bottom line of money. It doesn't care about the good it does in the world. It doesn't care about your health. It cares about money. When we're thinking about like what pops out of the business machine, money, yay. But that is very different than what nature would do.
So can you give us an example of what makes a business regenerative?
Yes. So a part of this is you need to completely flip the lens of what a business is because of our upbringing, of the society that we grew up in. Even the language in business, it's just, it's steeped in this mechanistic culture. And so with regenerative business, things that we're starting to do is we're starting to separate from the idea that efficiency is the most important thing. And like, of course, we want to build wealth and increase our capital and make enough money to support a beautiful life. Of course we do. Like, otherwise it's like we're not doing a business, but it's separating the like the efficiency being the most important part, the profit even being the most important part, that bottom line thinking. And instead we are looking at how is the result of our business making the world a better place? Because a lot of times, like if we're looking at regenerative farming, if you're ever in that space, you hear a lot of people talking about like farming soil. So the end result, like the intention behind the farming is actually to grow more soil, grow more fertility and fertile soil. And the byproduct of that is incredibly nutrient dense food, insanely high yields, extreme fertility. So if we look at business and we change our perspective of business, is the actual intention behind my business is making the world a better place and making my clients' lives better and making the world better. The byproduct of that is more wealth, more abundance, a better world. So it's just, I think one of the first perspective shifts needs to be, what is the ultimate intention behind the business? It can't be just making money.
Right. And it sounds like you're going beyond just the binary choice of like a for-profit business and a nonprofit business, right? Correct. Where we tend to think, oh, the nonprofits are doing all the good in the world and the for-profits are just to make money. But it seems like a nonprofit business can also not be regenerative, and a for-profit business actually could be regenerative, right? So does it help for our listeners to think much more broadly in business generally, instead of just these are the do good businesses and these are the money businesses?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I don't know how controversial this is, but these are my opinions. if you're looking at how a nonprofit actually runs, it's not actually different than a for-profit company. They are just able to get more grants and funding. And at the end of the year, they can't have made a profit. Like of course that can lead to that, like where these much larger corporations, where the people on top who aren't even working in the business and don't even care are just like profiting. But for our small business owners, like a nonprofit is essentially the exact same thing, the way it runs. Yeah. And so I don't actually think nonprofits are that altruistic, and a for-profit business can be just as or better for the world than a nonprofit.
Wow.
Is there a for-profit business that you could like hold up as your, like the best that you could aspire to? Can you give us more of like paint a picture of what that looks like?
Yeah. So I think a very front and center example is Patagonia. I think they're like, if you look at Patagonia's business, they've been doing work for years around increasing channels of how they bring in money. This is where I'm like, I don't know all of the details of it, but like they're such a great example of a very, very large corporation that like Avant Chouinard, who started it, who owns it, or I'm sure there's multiple owners at this point, but he's not leaving his billions of dollars to his kids. He's leaving it to land trusts and different environmental conservation efforts. I hadn't really been paying attention to Patagonia at all, but hearing him directly from his mouth talking about how he doesn't actually, like, he made his money off of selling clothes and, right, it's sportswear essentially and sustainable sourcewear. They do really cool things within that business. But he's like, my number one focus is around food now. And that's why you see like Patagonia provisions and stuff. It's like, this is where it actually matters. This is where the environmental work matters. It's because our food systems are so messed up. So that was a really cool thing to see. But in their business, they literally drive around. They have vans that they drive around and mend the clothing to try and decrease clothing waste. So like if you have a Patagonia thing and you get a hole in it, you can actually have them mend it for you. There's all of these things that are thinking much broader. It's not just about one transaction where you bought this from me and you have a hole in it now, too bad, figure it out. It's, we will mend it for you. And they're also creating documentaries and media around their beliefs, and they make a ton of money. So they're able to do like these like really big, cool things. So I if anyone's interested in I think he has a memoir. So I haven't read it yet, but definitely look at that. What Patagonia is doing. That's a great example.
The things I'll add to that they do, I worked in the wine business for a really long time. Mm. And for a while, one of the things I did for the team was order gear, right? So for the cellar team, we would like logo everything. And all of our vendors stopped carrying Patagonia because they're like, Patagonia won't let us logo anything anymore because those are the clothes that very quickly get thrown out when someone leaves a company or leaves an organization, and they want to eliminate as much waste as possible. So there are very few circumstances I think you can like apply to logo something, but it has to be approved by their team. And it's like a very, you know, complicated process to get that done. So it's like little stuff like that, that you don't necessarily see on the facing side of things that they're making decisions.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that's such a great example of how nature works, in the sense that in nature, there's no waste and there's all of these complex systems working together. And like if something dies, it gets composted versus like going to a landfill and just rotting and creating methane. And that's like the end of a cycle, very linear with an end point, versus nature is just doing this constant recirculation. Where they're thinking about that example is such a good one for thinking about, okay, this is where this is going. I know that at some point that person's going to leave the company. So let's actually think about how that doesn't become an endpoint, but instead is able to recirculate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's a great example.
Sam, I loved in your book when we were talking about, I mean, we just mentioned Patagonia actually makes a lot of money and different corporations can make a lot of money and all of that. But you talk about different forms of capital. And it resonated with us because we recently did an episode on wealth and how do you actually feel rich independent of money and what things make you feel actually rich. And in here, this is really kind of a business book. And you talk about 10 different forms of capital, including social capital, spiritual capital, natural capital, all of that. Please listeners go and buy this book because Sam does a great job of discussing each of them. But what is there one that surprised you in talking about your book, or is there one in particular that surprises others? And what would you like our listeners to know about different forms of capital?
I think just to do like a quick overview of the different kinds, and yes, I do have my book right in front of me.
Mine's on page 112 for reference.
It's chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
So with individual capital, this is your worth as a human. And you can think of it like, of course, that's obvious, but we can also think of a nation using individual capital by drafting humans. I think that's a really good example of thinking like how some people would spend that capital. Intellectual capital, if you're a thought leader, like, or you're an online business owner, like these are the things that you're putting in books, that you're putting in your courses, you're putting into a podcast. It's all the thoughts that are being captured within your business. Experiential capital, this is your 10 years of experience that is beyond beyond school. So like my husband dropped out of school when he was a preteen, but he has 40 years of regenerative farming experience, like, right? Social capital is our connections and our network and in business. This is the fact, gosh, I wish I knew this stat off the top of my head. It's like, I think word of mouth marketing is like 80% more effective than other forms of marketing. Like that's social capital in action. Political capital, I think that's an interesting one just to talk about, because if usually conscious or spiritual people, they are, or even in the environmental realm, there's either the people who like go into the activism route, but I see more people being like, society is messed up, like everyone's screwed up. I have no say or power in this. And I think that political capital is the one that all of us should actually be intentionally building right now, because you building wealth, you building financial capital, you being active in your community is such an important leverage point for changing the world. And I just don't think enough people are doing it. And it's just like, I think it's like 1% of Americans are considered politically active. And like, there's just so much potential there. So I'm really hoping you'll see in the book, the final chapter is on legacy. And I talk a lot about this. So when you get there, it's a good one.
Yes.
Spiritual capital. We see this less in our current society, but like, think back to the Middle Ages, or when there was like monks walking around and people would just take them in and feed them because of this recognition of spiritual capital. Financial capital, we know what that is. Natural capital, this is the trees that we have, the land that we own. And then built capital, this is infrastructure. This could be your computer, but also within cities. This is like buildings and water treatment plants. And then the last one is cultural capital. So this is your connection to your culture and your ancestry and your lineage. And that's another one that like most people don't consciously recognize. But when you start thinking about it, you're like, oof, that is a very powerful one. And I think the importance of recognizing these 10 forms of capital is like financial capital is just one of them. Like we can be building capital and wealth in so many different ways that and that feeds into this regenerative perspective of life that is beyond just like, I'm just making money. Like, no, we can be building abundance and wealth and capital in so many different ways.
Well, and affecting our families and communities, right? So it's not just enough that I'm going to make a lot of money and then I'll donate it. It, all of these other parts of wealth go into supporting yourself, but also well beyond in ways that are independent from money. And I love that.
But it also involves the community valuing those things.
Yeah.
So being able to like celebrate those things as equal to in terms of capital, right? And I don't think we do a good job of that in general, like being able to really point out and elevate those other avenues. One of the things I'm really curious to hear you talk about, Sam, is also cycles, because that's such a thing that we appreciate in nature. I mean, growing up in Michigan, I also grew up in Michigan, so I know the seasons. We know the seasons, right? They're so stark and they each have their own thing that they're known for. But what does that look like in business? Like, how do we bring that into, you know, the day to day?
So if you are a business owner, then it, first of all, it's recognizing that you have a cycle, but also your business has a cycle. And we need to recognize that you are not your business. We're trying to build up the power and the energy of your business as a separate thing than you. So let's first recognize that, because a lot of people get burnt out because they hold in their mind that I am my business. I have to do everything. I have to hold the control. I have to micromanage, whatever. So the cycle, you recognizing your personal cycles is incredibly powerful. So if you are a human with a uterus who's also still menstruates, then different times of the month, you feel different ways. And different times of the month, different times of the day, like if you start just tuning in and checking in with your body or reflecting on like, I'm the most creative at 11 p.m. or at 6 a.m. I'm the most, I should do all my podcast. I like to do all my podcast episodes when I'm ovulating, because that's when I actually like to talk to other people versus other times of the month. Recognizing stuff like that can be really powerful for making your business less extractive and see less thinking you of you as a cog in the machine or a robot or a factory worker. It's like, no, we all go through these cycles. So recognizing them for your personal life is such a powerful one. And there's a ton of questions in the book that are allow you to reflect on all the different ways cycles can show up in your life. And also like recognizing the actual seasons outside that affects your cycles too, right? If you're in the middle of winter, then you might see that as the perfect time to grow your business because you're not going out all the time. Or the exact opposite. You think of winter as like this time to be close with your family and community. So you don't want to be doing business at all. Like, great. Just recognize that and plan your year around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then cycles within business, it's you're looking at not only your own business, but also the people that you interact with. So for example, if you have a lot of moms who you sell things to or you interact with, like recognizing that September could be either an amazing time to sell things or a terrible time to sell things because they're going back to school, and just noticing that. A lot of online businesses, it's just slower in the summertime because everyone wants to be outside away from their screens. Okay, we recognize that. So it's with our industrial lens within our society, it is, we just assume every day is the same. We assume constant growth. We assume that like we have to feel the exact same every single day. And it's just not true. It's not like a part of the natural law of our 3D reality on Earth. So if we can start just recognizing the cycles that do exist and aligning with them and harmonizing with them, things just get easier.
Love that.
Yes. Any final questions for Sam before we wrap up, girls?
What's the biggest change personally that you've made to make your whole life more I can't say that word, obviously. Regenerative. is there something, I mean, not maybe beyond a business perspective, maybe just in, I love what you just said about the seasons, and I can think about that in a million different ways beyond my personal business. And there's a lot of our listeners who don't own a business. So what's your message for your work just on a personal level?
Oh, so many things. One of them is buying as much local food as possible or growing your own. And it's so good for your body to eat seasonally and eat. It's more nutrient dense if you're eating stuff that is recently purchased and or harvested. And extra, the bonus points are you're forming relationships within your community with farmers because a farmer can say they're organic, but they don't necessarily have the best practices. So you actually getting to know your farmer, and there's so much beautiful fulfillment that life can bring as you start making these connections and community. And like, so that, I mean, that involves also learning how to cook. That's really great and important. And a lot of people have struggle with that, struggle with eating locally because they don't know how to cook. So it can be this beautiful relationship that you build with food and how you nourish yourself. Other thing that's upsetting that I do like to underline, because a lot of people in the environmental movement, they police other people like, oh my God, you use straws. Oh my God, you bought stuff with plastic. And like, of course, like I'm all support for like a zero waste lifestyle, but realizing that 100 companies produce the world, 70% of the world's carbon emissions. It's like,
wow,
we actually need to stop policing each other and start thinking bigger. And this is good news, because instead of having to change the habits of 8 billion people, we just need to start coming together and addressing those people that are actually causing the problem. So thinking, this is where like the whole political capital coming in and being active politically, like that is going to be your most regenerative thing for it.
Yeah.
So we want to support the businesses that are doing it right. And another thing is, if you can start regulating your nervous system better, and start actually becoming less busy. This is a part of a regenerative life. I mean, of course, like taking care of yourself is so important, but one of the number one reasons why people make choices that are like not good for the planet or not good for themselves is because it's convenient and they're tired and they're busy. So if we just start slowing down and active, and this is, I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's not easy, right? It's like those daily actions of like signing up your kids for less after school activities. So you don't have to be like driving them around all the time and like totally burnt out, or taking up a hobby that is nourishing for you versus like a CrossFit class. I don't know, whatever that looks like for you, of how can you actually slow down, take on less so you have more time. Like that slow lifestyle will help you make better decisions for the planet and for your own health and your family's health and your community's health.
Awesome. Thanks.
Good.
Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us. Listeners, everyone at home, Sam's book, Regenerative Business, is on Amazon. You can go get it there. It is a must read, whether you own a business, whether you're an employee, or you are working in an unpaid capacity at home, or simply just enjoying the fruits of your labor. This is really for all of us. And so I'm so grateful that you were here today. Sam, thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Go get the book, everyone.
Thank you, Sam. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.